Sorry, I didn't mean to say Heineken. I said a well-known brand of beer.
But I don't like Heineken, so I'm
not.
We agreed that we're only going to accept sponsors we like. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And this is episode 53 of our podcast. If you are a new listener, if this is your first time here, welcome. We are going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level with some grammar, vocabulary, and questions. So first, let's start with some listener feedback from Yolanda. And Yolanda sent us a voice message asking about the difference between another and an other. So here's Yolanda.
I want to ask some doubts. On the one hand, I want to know the difference between another together or an other in two words. I think that you didn't explain. I'm not sure. Excuse me. And on the other hand, I want to know the difference between currently and recently. If there is a difference, because I think that two words mean the same, but I'm not sure if the collocation is the same or something, or when write one or another one. Okay, so bye-bye, and I am sorry, I am a bit nervous because it isn't the same to speak and to record, or recording. See you, bye.
So, Reza, quite a common question there. Another, A-N-O-T-H-E-R, and other, O-T-H-E-R.
Well, Craig, can I go back to the very first sentence you said at the beginning of this episode? You said, welcome to another episode.
So another there is an adjective. It's describing the episode and it's saying there's another episode. There's one more episode.
An additional one. One to add.
So that's another as an adjective.
And was that another, was that one word or two words?
One word.
One word. Right. Okay.
So if Yolanda is asking if it's common to have an and other separate, it isn't, is it? Another is nearly always together. And what about other? Other plus plural nouns, for example, other people, other chairs, other things. When would we use other and not another? Because if I said I'd like another beer, es una cerveza más. But there are, there's Guinness and there's Carlsberg and there's Heineken and others.
Yes.
So there are other beers.
Yeah. So other can go with plural, countable. Yeah. Other beers, other books, other people. Yeah.
Correct. And others with an S is a pronoun that can be used to replace other plus plural nouns. So other beers, I could just say there are others. Mm-hmm.
So if I said to you, do you want a beer in this bar? It's Heineken. And you don't like Heineken. And you ask me, are there others?
Are there others? Meaning, are there other beers?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I've just realized Heineken are never going to sponsor us, are they? Oh, well.
Just as well, because I don't...
Sorry, I didn't mean to say Heineken. I said a well-known brand of beer.
But I don't like Heineken, so We agreed that we're only going to accept sponsors we like. Okay, any other comments about other and another?
Yes, other can also be for uncountable. For example, there's nothing like the love of a good woman by your side. But there is other love. Other love. That's uncountable. For example, the love of a mother, the love of a son or daughter.
The love of God.
Exactly.
And the love for your country.
Other love. Other plus an uncountable.
Right.
As well as other plus a countable plural.
Mm-hmm. And this example, not that shirt, the other one. Esa camisa no, la otra. Yeah. The other one, or the other shirt.
So it's common to put one after other to substitute a noun, yeah? Rather than repeating it.
Yes.
We add one, the other one.
Yeah, not yeah. This beer, the other one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the word other there means an alternative. Yeah, not an additional one, but an alternative. So other has two meanings. Would you like another biscuit? You've had one. Would you like a second one? That's additional. But your example now was, what did you say? You didn't want this T-shirt. You wanted
not
the other.
Not that shirt, the other one.
The other one. You don't mean additional there. You mean alternative.
Alternative, la otra.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you said, another use is the additional uno más or una más. One more, another beer, please. I'd like another beer. I'd like another glass of wine.
No, we said don't want to get too complicated, but I think there's one last thing we should mention as regards the grammar. We said another, as one word, is singular, usually. Another book, another person, another one. But there's one little exception. You can put the word another as one word together with a plural. For example, another 10 books. Mm-hmm. Books is clearly plural. Another 10 books. Another is one word. But it's because it's going with a number or yes. a specification of quantity.
Because you cannot say another books.
No.
But you can say another 5 books or another 2 yeah. books.
Yeah. I could say 5 other books in that order, 5 other books. But if I do it in a different order, I have to say another 5 books. I put another before the number 5. Yeah. Another 20 people. Another 5,000 sentences.
He drank 4 beers and then he had another 3. Another 3 beers. Exactly. So Yolanda also asks us about the difference between currently and recently. Well, currently is now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lo que pasa ahora. And recently is últimamente.
Yes, but not now.
But yes, but
not
now.
Right now.
Not right now, but recently.
Recently. A long time ago.
So there's a very clear difference, and it's not a difference of collocation, as Yolanda asks. It's a difference of meaning. Currently is now, presently, at the moment, and recently is hace poco.
Yeah. I am currently single. I have no girlfriend. But I recently went out with a beautiful girl. But 2 days ago, she told me to get lost.
Pierrete. Did she?
Pierrete, she said. Pierrete.
It's her loss, not yours.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. So currently, I have no girlfriend, but recently, I had a girlfriend, but not quite now.
Moving on to a question from Elisa from Finland, who says, it's a huge pleasure to listen to you chatting and teaching at the same time. I want to make a promise too. So I'm going to listen to you every week. Ah, that's because we recently said that we're going to release a podcast every Sunday at least once a week. Yep. So thank you, Elisa. So she's a regular listener. She says, please could you make some examples, probably give some examples, with words like strategy, strategic, strategist, strategically, because the pronunciation is unbelievably difficult. I think I might catch it from your conversation.
Catch it? No, pick it up.
Pick it up. Pick it up. Learn from it. Pick it up.
Specifically that group of words from strategy, yeah?
Well, I think, yeah, that the different word families coming from the base word strategy. So strategy is a noun. Mm-hmm. I have a strategy for my business.
Yep.
3 syllables? Yep. Stress the first syllable. Strategy. Mm-hmm. Strategy. The adjective is strategic. Also 3 syllables, but be careful. The stress changes. Strategic. Uh-huh.
For example, it was a strategic move to undercut the competition.
A very strategic move on our part.
To undercut means to charge less money.
Exactly. And a person who uses strategy is a...
strategist.
Strategist. It is quite difficult to pronounce.
Stressing the first syllable, right? Yeah.
So a strategist. Also three syllables. Stress the first syllable. Strategist. A strategist uses strategy. And finally, strategically, which is an adverb. So you do something in a strategic way. You do it strategically. So how many syllables? Strategically, four syllables. Mm-hmm. And the stress is on the second syllable. Strategically. Strategically. Can you give an example with this adverb?
Yes. The English podcaster, who will remain nameless, he doesn't have to have a name. The English podcaster strategically positioned himself beside the prettiest girl in the group. But imagine there's a group of people and they're all sitting at a table and you want to be beside the pretty girl. You strategically just make sure that you end up beside her.
You finish beside her. So again, those words...
Finish beside it? You're not talking about Elisa now, are you? No, sorry. Oh, that's finish with one N, not finish with double N.
Yeah, exactly. That's the nationality, finish. So let's repeat these words again. Strategy, strategic, strategist, strategically.
Can I add one more?
Go ahead.
To strategize.
The verb.
Yeah. Example. Not a common verb, but it does exist.
Example?
The American military need to strategize their policy in the Middle East. They need to turn it into a strategy. They need to strategize.
Yeah, not a common word, but it is used.
It does exist.
Yep. So thank you for your questions, Elisa. And she finishes PS. Normally...
She's finished, you said. Oh, no, she finishes. Sorry, she's finished. I couldn't resist that joke. She's finished and she finishes?
Normally, quite many things annoy me every week or almost every day, but you cheered me up. That's a nice expression.
Oh, thank you.
To cheer someone up, to make them happier. So we cheered Elisa up. So I forgot all my irritations. Thanks.
And Elisa, you've been paying attention to our previous podcast. You've been using phrasal verbs with up to show finality. You finally ended up cheerful. You were cheered up.
Or maybe it's with the meaning of increase. To cheer up means subir el ánimo.
Yeah, to give you more cheer.
To give you more cheer, to cheer someone up. Yeah, you cheered me up with your wonderful podcasting resume. Moving on to vocabulary and following on from John's message from last episode, he's the guy from Buenos Aires who is going soon to California, and he says, could you talk about travel vocabulary? So last episode we spoke about how to ask for directions when you're in your car, although of course I strongly suggest, John, that you get a GPS if you're hiring or renting a car in California. Much easier to just put the direction in your GPS in your car and it will take you straight to your destination. But we spoke about how to ask for directions in episode 52 last week. So this week, following on, how to order in a restaurant, one of your favorite topics, Reza.
Oh, indeed it is.
Can we help John with ordering in a restaurant?
I'm sure we can. Now he's going to California, so we'd better mention American English.
Yes.
Because there are some differences between British and American English as regards a restaurant experience.
There are.
For example, let's begin with one. Right at the beginning, before you even go to the restaurant, you might wish to book a table or reserve a table.
Or make a reservation.
Yes. Not many British people would say make a reservation, I don't think.
But Americans would.
They would.
Americans would. I'm going to make a reservation for this evening.
Right.
You phone the restaurant. Can I make a reservation for two? Can I make a reservation for a table for four, for example?
Mm-hmm.
In the name of. So in the name of Craig, in the name of Juan, in the name of Reza, to make a reservation. And when you want to ask for things in a restaurant, you could use the expression, could I or can I? And that could help you with many things. Could I see the menu? Could I have the wine list? Could I pay for the meal? Could I sit near the window, etc.? Could I or can I? Could I have, can I have? Any other expressions he could use?
Well, what about the different components, the different elements that make up the meal? It depends how much you want to eat, but you could have starters, a main course and dessert, for example.
Yes.
So starters, what you start with, it's going to be a small portion.
The first course.
The first course or starters. What you start with, the first one, starters or the first course. And then after that, you might have the main course.
Mm-hmm.
Plateau principal, the main course.
Right.
Or very often people call the main. They don't bother about the word.
And these days, sometimes the menus, the descriptions of the food on the menus can be very confusing. So I think it's useful to know expressions like, what does it come with? If you order steak, fish, chicken, what does it come with? What are the garniciones, the accompaniments? What vegetables does it come with? Does it come with a salad? Does it come with chips? Does it come with potatoes, etc.?
Yeah. And if it doesn't come with much, you might have to ask for a side order.
Yeah. Or the, as the Americans would say, a side. So you'd say a side of salad or a side of coleslaw or a side of potato. Oh, well, chips. They wouldn't say chips, would they?
French fries.
French fries.
In America.
A side of fries, they would say.
Side, side order. Main, main course.
And I think it's useful to know how to ask for clarification. So if you see something on the menu, you can point and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what this is. Or I'm sorry, could you explain this to me, please? Could you explain this?
Or perhaps, can you tell me what's in it?
Yes, what's in it, please? Or what do you recommend? That's a very easy way of getting food.
Yeah.
Ask the waiter or waitress to recommend a dish. So what do you recommend for the main course? What do you recommend to start?
And some restaurants will have things such as the chef's special or the chef's speciality. It may be a particular dish, un plato, dish. We mean what you eat. We don't mean the object where you put the food. This meaning of dish.
Fish and chips is a common English dish.
Dish, yep.
Paella is a Spanish dish.
Yeah, but also there's the meaning of dish. I have a nice blue dish made out of ceramics.
Yeah.
We're talking about the object where you put the food. That's also dish. Plato in Spanish as well. So there might be a chef's special or a chef's speciality, or there might be the house special, or there might be the day's special.
Mm-hmm. Soup of the day.
Soup of the day. Fish of the day.
Yeah.
All of that.
And how to ask for some more of something. So again, use can or could and say, can I have some more, please? Can I have some more bread? Can I have some more wine? Can I have some more beer, please? Remember please at the end. Mm-hmm. Can I have some more? Or could I have some more?
Or indeed, another to say additional. Could I have another beer, please? Could I have another portion of bread?
Could I have another bottle of wine? Another bottle of wine. And when you finish your meal, you ask for the...
In America, the check.
In the UK?
The bill.
So,
but John's going to have to ask for the check in California.
John will ask for the check. So can we have or can I have the check, please? Can I have the check in the UK? Can I have the bill?
What about tipping? Let's talk about a cultural aspect. Should John tip in California?
Well, we spoke about this, didn't we, a few episodes ago. We spoke about my opinion on tipping. I think...
Well, we better remind listeners what tipping means. What is a tip or to tip?
Well, tip, T-I-P, means to ensure promptness, which means to make sure you get good service in a place. But in America, it's more an accepted cultural way to give a 10% or sometimes as much as 20% additional amount on top of, in addition to, the price of the food. So if the food is $50, maybe you pay $5 or $7 or $8 more as a tip.
$57 or $8 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you pay $58 or $60 even for with the tip included. So I think it's a good idea, if it's not clear, to say to the waiter, is service included? Is service included in the price? Is service included in the total? And then it's your decision to leave a tip or not, mm-hmm. and how much. But it's very, very common in America to leave at least 10% tip.
Mm-hmm. And waiters can get quite angry if you don't.
Yes.
And they'll let you know they're angry.
I've had experience of that. But I refuse to give a tip for very bad service. That's a personal thing of mine. Finally, I think it's useful to, if you're having dinner or lunch or breakfast with someone and you want to pay, in Spanish you'd probably say invito yo, but you wouldn't say I invite you, no. Would you? And what would you say in English if you want to pay for somebody's food?
There are several ways. You might say, allow me.
Allow me. That's very polite, isn't it? Yeah. That's very formal. Maybe in a business situation, allow me. I would say it's on me.
It's on me.
It's on me. Mm. I'm paying. It's on me. Or it's my treat.
Yeah.
It's my treat. Or perhaps I'll get this. Yes. If you get something, that means you pay for it. So you take the check or the bill and you say, no, 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 I'll get this, or please let me get this. And if the person argues, no, I insist. So I insist, or I insist on pay.
I think quite often in American English, instead of get, they say look after. I'll look after this. You quite often hear it.
Or I'll take care of it.
Take care of
I'll
this.
Take care of the bill. Pay it. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Or the check in American English.
Yeah.
Now, John, just one thing. We hope it doesn't happen to you, but if you're really not satisfied with a particular dish, you might have to send it back.
Send it back to the kitchen.
Yeah. You're not happy with it. It might be too cold. It might be undercooked, overcooked, or it might be off. Off means it's not in a good condition, not in a good state. You have to send it back.
Send it back. Yep. Send it back to the kitchen. Okay, next week we'll look at another area of vocabulary suggested by John. But now let's move on to this episode's weekly wind-ups. If you're a new listener, our weekly wind-ups give us an opportunity to complain and say what we don't like about certain things. Things that annoy us, irritate and bother us. Fastidiar, disgustar and molestar. Reza, do you have one this week?
I do, Craig. Can I ask you a question first?
Go ahead.
I'm not getting at anybody in particular, but I've met people in this situation. I just want to ask you, do your parents listen to the podcast?
Only when I force them to. Only when I make them.
Okay. All right.
Well, not voluntarily.
Not voluntarily. Okay. Can you promise not to ask them to listen to this episode?
I will.
Not to. Okay, then I'll tell you my wind-up. My wind-up is...
My parents.
No, not at all. Your parents are lovely people. They are. But they might fall into this group, you see, in a way. Nobody's perfect. Goodness knows.
You're not going to say old people wind you up, are you?
No, I love old people. Love old people. But young people quite annoy me, but I love old people. I hope Craig's parents aren't listening, and plenty of other people's parents. It is native English speakers abroad, be it on holiday or living, who get upset when people don't speak English.
Oh.
And I am an English teacher. That's right. I am an English teacher. But I get really wound up by native English speakers like me who expect people in a foreign country to speak English and get annoyed when they don't. I find it really quite something.
Quite annoying.
Yes. I think they have no right to expect people to speak English in their own country. Now, I've dedicated a a large part of my life to teaching English, and I love it. But I don't expect Spaniards that I come across to speak English. I shouldn't get upset if they don't. But in places like the Costa Blanca and the Spanish Islands and other places, you see English speakers getting upset, getting annoyed when Spanish people don't speak English. And I think that's an unacceptable expectation.
I agree totally. In fact, I have a confession to make, and I'm quite embarrassed, but I actually heard my mum a couple of times complain that people in Spain don't speak English, and they don't speak English with her. And I say, Mum, you're living in Spain. You should learn their language. You should learn Spanish. You wouldn't expect a Spanish person in the UK to expect you to speak Spanish.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
What's your wind-up, Craig?
Well, my wind-up this episode could be a little controversial. It could be a little polemico. Musicians who ask for money in restaurants, especially bad musicians. And you know what I mean, I think, Reza. When you're enjoying a lovely meal, maybe with a beautiful lady, and it's a very romantic lunch or dinner, and suddenly this idiot with a guitar starts playing in your ear, especially in the tourist areas and the tourist spots where they know people have like tourist money to spend. And I'm not speaking about the people who play in train stations, buskers. A busker is a person who plays in the street and entertains people, and I'm quite happy to give money for buskers who are in an underground station, for example, or playing on the street corner. When I'm having a meal, when I'm in company with people, and some idiot comes up and starts playing a saxophone in my ear very badly, it winds me up.
Yeah, me too. And I don't pay them. I never pay them.
I usually don't look at them. I don't speak to them, and I ignore them completely. If you have a weekly wind-up, something that bothers and irritates you, please let us know. You can record your voice on our webpage at inglespodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. And also get in contact with us if you have a question or a comment. You can also sign up to our email list at inglespodcast.com, and we would love it if you'd write a review for us on iTunes if you enjoy this podcast, because then we will go up in the ranking of iTunes and more people will be able to listen to our podcast, and we'll be very happy. So give us some love. Give us some love on iTunes.
Love us.
Give us some stars. Spread the love. And we will see you in the next episode. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's toodaloo from me.
Toodaloo.
Good news. We have some good news for you. We now have a Patreon program to give you what you're asking for. Many, many people have been asking us for full episode transcriptions of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. So we need $100 or 100 euros per month to be able to pay a service to transcribe our show. So if 100 of you listeners give $1 or 1 euro each per month, that's less than the price of a cup of coffee, then we can do it. We can pay a service to write the transcriptions and publish them on our website. So how about you? Will you help Reza and I improve our podcast? If you donate a euro each month, we also promise to answer your questions about English. So we will answer questions of everyone who donates and supports us on Patreon. Of course, you can donate more than 1 euro if you want to. Just go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/inglespodcast. And thank you very much for listening and for supporting our podcasts.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.